Paramahams Prabhuparajita Aryashto Tathashtata Shishmadi Dvanga Isis Bhakti Ranta Swami Shila Prabhupada Ki Cha Harinam Sankirtan Ki Cha Shrimad Bhagavatam. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतेरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर Text 7. Didrikshavo Yasya Padam Sumangalam Vimukta Sangha Munayaha Susadhavaha Charanti Alokavratam Vranam वने सॉरी आवरणम वने भूतात्मा भूतः सुहृदः समे गतिः दिदृक्षवो यस्य पदं सुमंगलम् विमुक् संगा मुनयः सुसाधवः चरन्ति लोका व्रतमव्रणं वने भूतात्मभूता सुहृदः समे गतिः दिदृक्षवो यस्य पदं सुमंगलम् विमुक्त संगा मुनयः सुसाधवः चरन्ति लोका व्रतमव्रणं वने भूतात्मभूताः सुहृदः समे गतिः दिदृक्षो यस्य पदं सुमंगलम् विमुक्तसंगा मुनयः सुसाधवः चरन्ति लोका व्रतमव्रणं वने भूतात्मभूताः सुहृदः समे गतिः दिदृक्षवो यस्य पदं सुमंगलम् विमुक्तसंगा मुनयः सुसाधवः चरन्ति लोका व्रतमव्रणं वने भूतात्मभूता सुहृदः समे गतिः Thank you. शरंत लोका व्रतम व्रणम वने भूतात्म भूता सुरुदस समे गति दिदृक्षवो यस्य पदं सुमंगलम् विमुक्तसंगामुनयः सुसाधवः चरन्ति लोकावृतमव्रणं वने भूतात्मभूतासुरुदः समे गतिः दिदृक्षवः those who desire to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yasya, of Him, Padam, the lotus feet, Sumangalam, all auspicious, Vimukta Sangaha, persons who are completely disinfected of material conditions. Munayaha, great sages, susadhavaha, those who are highly elevated in spiritual consciousness, charanti, practice, alokavratam, vows of brahmachari, vanaprastha or sannyas, avarnaunam, without any fault, vane, in the forest, Bhutatmabhutaha, those who are equal to all living entities. Suhrudaha, those who are friendly to everyone. Saha, that same Supreme Personality of Godhead. Me, my, Gatihi, destination. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Renunciates and great sages who see all living beings equally, who are friendly to everyone and who flawlessly practice in the forest the vows of brahmachari, vanaprastha and sannyas, desire to see the all auspicious lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. May that same Supreme Personality of Godhead be my destination. Purport. This verse describes the qualification for devotees or persons highly elevated in spiritual consciousness. Devotees are always equal to everyone, seeing no distinction between lower and higher classes. Panditaha Samadarshinaha. They look upon everyone as a spirit soul who is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Thus they are competent to search for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Understanding that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the friend of everyone, Surudas Sarvabhutana, they act as friends of everyone on behalf of Supreme Lord, making no distinction between one nation and another or one community and another. They preach Krishna consciousness, the teachings of Bhagavad Gita everywhere. Thus they are competent to see the lotus feet of the Lord. Such preachers in the Krishna consciousness are called Paramhamsas, as indicated by the word Vimukta Sangha. They have nothing to do with material conditions. One must take shelter of such a devotee in order to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Shcha Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine నిర్విశేషా శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. మూఖం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంగాయతే గిరిం యత్కృపాతమహం వందే శ్రీగురు దీనతారిణం పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీచైతన్యేశ్వరం. హరే కృష్ణ. ఐ సీక్ బ్లెసింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ మై సీనియర్స్ టు స్పీక్ సంథింగ్ ఫర్ గ్లోరిఫికేషన్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ అండ్ ప్యూరిఫికేషన్ ఆఫ్ మై హార్ట్. సో యాజ్ వీ నో వీ ఆర్ ఇన్ ద 8th క్యాంటో 3rd చాప్టర్. సో ద సీన్ ఈస్ దాట్ యు నో గజేంద్ర యు నో వెంట్ టు ఎంజాయ్ ఇన్ ద యు నో వాటర్ స్పోర్ట్స్ ఇన్ త్రికుట మౌంటైన్ అండ్ దెన్ యు నో హీ గాట్ కాట్ బై ద క్రొకోడైల్ అండ్ దెన్ దే స్టార్టెడ్ ఫైటింగ్ అండ్ అట్ ద టైమ్ వెన్ గజేంద్ర అండర్స్టూడ్ దాట్ హీ కెనాట్ విన్ నౌ ఇట్స్ లైక్ ఆల్మోస్ట్ బికాస్ దే ఆర్ ఫైటింగ్ ఫర్ మెనీ మెనీ ఇయర్స్ యాక్చువల్లీ. సో హెన్ హీ అండర్స్టూడ్ దట్ హీ కెనాట్ విన్ నౌ, సో he surrendered to Lord and he started offering prayers. So in this chapter we are seeing, you know, prayers of Lord. So I was driving yesterday to Bhakti Vriksha and then I saw one big hoarding on the highway 94. It said Kalahari, you know, water park, and then there was an elephant in the water. So I was just thinking only the crocodile is missing, you know. It's perfect, you know, Gajendra Moksha pastime. So basically everyone, you know, in this material world, they try to enjoy, but then Bhagavatam tells us, you know, the futility, how that danger is there. And then recently I heard a news and unfortunate incidents wherein somebody went to a resort to enjoy and, you know, a small boy, he was dragged by the crocodile inside the water and, you know, he was gone. So we can even see, you know, dramatically that, yeah, the miseries are there, what, you know, Bhagavatam says. So basically, Srimad Bhagavatam, as in this purport it says, the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam is that it not only tells us, you know, what should be our destination as humans, but also tells about how to achieve it. So in this verse, the last verse comes, you know, Gatihi. So there is a famous verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Nate vidusvartha gatim vishnu durashrayaye bahirarthamaninaha అంధాయతాంధ రూపనీయమాన స్త్రీపిష్టపంచాత్రునాది విరుధానిన బద్ధ. దట్ వాజ్ స్పోకన్ బై ప్రహ్లాద్ మహారాజ్ ఇన్ జస్ట్ యూ నో 7th క్యాంటో. సో ఇన్ దాట్ హీ సేస్ దాట్ దోస్ పీపుల్ హూ ఆర్ డివైడ్ ఆఫ్ ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్ నాలెడ్జ్, దే మిస్ ద గోల్ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్ అండ్ దే ఫాలో ద పాత్ ఆఫ్ సెన్స్ గ్రాటిఫికేషన్ అండ్ దెన్ దే ఆర్ డూమ్డ్ లైక్ అండ్ దెన్ హీ గివ్స్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ఆఫ్ యాజ్ అ బ్లైండ్ మ్యాన్ ద ఫాలోడ్ బై యు నో అనదర్ బ్లైండ్ మ్యాన్ దే ఆల్ యు నో fall into the ditch. So Srimad Bhagavatam, it gives us the transcendental knowledge to open our eyes and tell us what should be our destination. So in this verse, as we are saying, that here it's described that how what should be our destination. May the same Supreme Personality of Godhead may be, you know, that my destination. So I was just pondering on this fact. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, we see again and again, the point is described that the goal of our life or destination of our life should not be sense gratification. In first canto also it says, you know, tasyaiva heto prayate tako vido na labhyate yam brahmatam paryata tal labhyate dukkha vadanya sukham kalena sarvatra guvira rambasa. That one should not try to, you know, search for, you know, things, you know, which are like, you know, full of miseries, and then you go from planet of Brahmaloka to Pataloka is the same, you know, there is no change. So the intelligent person, it won't search for that. So then naturally, whenever we are talking about any destination or, you know, any goal, so generally suppose how the process starts, actually we'll just little bit see. So it all starts with a desire, okay? So for example, like, you know, we hear about, say, something, say, you know, want to go to, you know, nice, beautiful, you know, resort.
So first thing is that we hear from someone who has already been there.
Right.
And then we hear, okay, that resort is very beautiful, you know, it's very cool, shading, you know, whatever nice description they may tell. So then when somebody talks about some place, a resort, then the next question we have is, okay, what's in there? Like, you know, what is there? So then they'll tell, okay, it's, you know, it's a beautiful place, there's a nice, you know, waterfalls, nice trees, nice scenery, whatever it may be, nice music, whatever. So then the third question comes, you know, have you been there? It's general conversation when we are talking. That's not how it goes, right? And then I said, yes, yes, I have been there, you know, twice. It has been really, you know, we had a great time. So then what happens after the thing is that then, oh, how can I go there? You know, the desire develops. So the whole human existence, basically, we are acting based on, like, you know, what? So we acquire desires and we act to get them fulfilled. So we hear something about something, so, and then we develop desire to get it, and then we spend, you know, like a chunk of time to, you know, achieve that particular desire. All agree? So same way here in this purport, Prabhupada is telling that, you know, there is such a, you know, there is a very nice desire, you know. So a nice destination, you know, what do you say? So what destination he is speaking about is, he is speaking about achieving the lotus feet of, you know, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then the natural question comes, okay, have you been there? Who has been there, right? So then Prabhupada, you know, it tells that, you know, the renunciates and the great sages who see all living beings equally, who are friendly to, renunciate and great sages who flawlessly practice the vows of Brahmachari, Vanaprastha and Sannyasa, desire to see the all auspicious lotus feet of Godhead. So, here, the devotee Srimad Bhagavatam, it talks about the lotus feet of Lord, and then there are sages, pure devotees who have achieved it. And what they tell? We had a nice time. It's a very beautiful place. It's too beautiful. Like, and the scriptures are full of glorification of lotus feet of Lord and, you know, achieving the destination, like the spiritual world, and, you know, what we get by there. So every one of us, whatever we do in our life, the goal is to be happy. But in the material world, that basic the desire for happiness is like, you know, the quantumist says we want 100 in quantity, but what we get, it, you know, not 0001. Or sometimes it's just a negation of misery. There is no misery, so we feel, you know, relieved, right? So, but in the scriptures, they full say that, yeah, there is a happiness is that, you know, ananda ambudhi vardhanam pratipadam purnam ritasvadhanam. It's a ocean of bliss. And how this ocean is that? It's always increasing. And then, so the natural question comes, okay, how should I achieve it, right? How should I achieve it? How can I get it there? You know, how can I get it there? So in this purport, Prabhupada nicely explains that by the last sentence, you know, by taking shelter of a devotee, we can achieve that supreme goal, supreme destination, you know, supreme personality of Godhead. And also it's like, you know, nice, in the first stanza, yasya padam sumangalam. So sumangalam means all auspicious. So Lord's lotus feet are described as all auspicious. So this destination, spiritual world, what is there in this destination? There's Lord's lotus feet. How are they? They're all auspicious. And again, like, you know, there are innumerable verses in the scriptures which tell about the glories of Lord's lotus feet. So in 10th canto, Brahmaji explains, you know, samashita eva pada pallava plavam mahat padam punyesho murare bhavam buddhir vatsa padam param padam 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 yad vipadam natesham. So he explains that Lord's lotus feet, they are like, you know, a bud of a flower. So flower already, like the petals are very delicate, but the bud is even more delicate. You ever seen any time Malya flower? We get it for Janmashtami special from India. Small, and they make a kind of Radharani's, you know, that hairband or, you know, hand ornaments using that buds. So buds are very, very, they are very fragrant at the same time. They are very soft, very tender. So Lord's lotus feet are like that. They are pinkish in color, very beautiful. And what is the capacity of that lotus feet? So the acharyas compare it that they are like a boat. So though they are very soft like lotus feet, they are like a formidable boat which can be used to cross over the ocean of material birth and death. And then what happens when we take shelter of Lord's lotus feet? That the whole Bhavasagara, the ocean of material, it becomes like a water contained in a hoof print of a calf. So calf hoof print are generally like this much. So how much water it can be there? It can be, you know, easily crossed, right? So this is the glory of Lord's lotus feet. And there are beautiful Vaishnava songs which describe about Lord's lotus feet. So is one which we will see that, you know, you all know about this Ekona Bhujina Prabhu Vaishnava song, you know? Okay. Ekona Bhujina Prabhu Tomara Charana. So I'll read the translation. So, or maybe I'll sing first and then I'll read, okay. Ekona Bhujina Prabhu Tomara Charana Ashoka Bhayamruta Purna Sarvakhana Sakala Chadiya Tuva Charana Kamale Pudiyachi Aminatha Tava Padatale Tava Pada Padmanatha Rakhibe Amare Ara Rakha Karta Nahi Ye Bhava Samsare. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that, oh Lord, I take shelter of your lotus feet, which are eternally full of sweet nectar. And there is no other protection than you in this world of birth and death. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that, you know, I am your eternal servant and you maintain me. And then he describes the glories of his lotus feet. How are they lotus feet? Jepada lagi arama tapasya korila Jepada paiya shiva shivatva blabhiya. So these lotus feet have been worshipped by Mother Lakshmi. You know, these are the, she always, you know, perform service to that lotus feet, and like, you know, she executed all her activities. She executed all the austerities which she did in desire of this lotus feet. And by securing this lotus feet, Lord Shiva also attained the Shivatva, that means all auspiciousness, the quality of Lord Shiva. Then what are other qualities of this lotus feet? Jepadala bhiya brahma kritartha hoila Jepada Narada Muni Hridaye Dharila. So Lord Brahma became successful in life just by obtaining to this lotus feet. And Narad Muni, the celebrated sage, he always holds them in his heart. Sei se abhaya pada shirete dhoriya paramanande nachi Pada guna gaiya samsara vipada haite avasya uddhara bhakati vinoda o pada kori betomara. So yeah, further on says that your lotus feet drives always all fear. Having held them to my head, I dance in great ecstasy singing their glories. Your lotus feet will deliver Bhaktivinoda from the perils of worldly journey. So many acharyas, they describe the glories of this lotus feet. Even like, you know, our dear Prabhupada, you know, Abhaya Charanaravinda. So that means, Charanaravinda, by taking shelter of whose lotus feet, one becomes fearless. You know? So, Lord's lotus feet is so much glorified that even Krishna wants to know that what is in my lotus feet. So he takes, you know, small baby form. He takes the toe of his lotus feet and he starts sucking, you know, to see, you know, what's in it. You know, why the devotees are always speaking about my lotus feet. There's a beautiful verse. Kararavindena padaravindam mukharavindena vinivesayantam vatasya patrasya puteshayanam Balamukundam manasasmarami. This, I think this is Markandeya Rishi. He sees that, you know, small baby Krishna is lying on a banyan leaf in the diva, like, you know, in the ocean of material devastation. Everything is destroyed. There is only one small banyan leaf and Krishna is lying on there. And what is there? Kararavindera padaravindam padaravindena mukharavindena vinivesyantam. Krishna is, you know, holding his lotus feet with his hand and he is sucking the toe of his lotus feet. So Acharya has explained that why he is doing that. Generally babies do that, right? Why? Babies do out of ignorance. But Krishna is doing it to see what is in it. That all my devotees, for so many times, they are just, you know, glorifying my lotus feet. As in this word, you know, yasya padam sumangalam. All auspicious. You want to hear, it's so soothing, right? Sumangalam, you know. So this lotus feet of Lord's are like, you know, this auspicious. And then Prabhupada says that how to achieve it. That is the most important. So now we know, okay, so we have a destination. We know that, you know, many people have gone there. So now the next question is, okay, how can I go there, right? That's the next natural question would be. So Prabhupada says that by taking shelter of a devotee. So now Prabhupada explains which devotee. So then, little bit before in the purport, Prabhupada says that those devotees who are fixed in their vows of brahmachari, vanaprastha and sannyas, who are falselessly practicing these vows, they are friendly to everyone and they see everyone equally. So Prabhupada explains that the preacher of Krishna consciousness movement, he doesn't discriminate. He sees everyone as a part and parcel of Lord, and then he has compassion that, you know, here is a soul who is suffering in want of Krishna. So let me give this knowledge of Krishna so that he can be happy in real sense. So now the Paramhamsa, so there are, like, you know, as in Nectar of Devotion, there are Nectar of Instruction, there are three types of devotees are described. Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari and Uttam Adhikari. Uttam Adhikari is one who thinks that everyone is better devotee than me. That is his vision. He said everyone is devotee and, like, you know, and they are better than me. That is their vision. But the Madhyam Adhikari, those devotees, they discriminate. What they discriminate? They discriminate between the innocent and the envious one. So to the innocent, they serve them by giving their association and giving Krishna to them. And to the envious, they keep how they serve them? By keeping distance. So that they won't offend, you know, them further and, you know, again, like, you know, make their distance from Krishna, you know, law. So Prabhupada says this quality that, like in the purport, there's another interesting line. It says that they look upon everyone as a spirit soul who is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Thus, they are competent to search for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, making no distinction between one nation and another, one community and another, they preach Krishna consciousness everywhere. Thus, they are competent to see the lotus feet of Lord. So, Rupa says the qualification, how to see that? We share this knowledge. Krishna says also in Bhagavad Gita that who is most dear to me? One who preaches this, you know, Krishna conscious movement. So, Rupa said that those who did not get Krishna consciousness, they are unfortunate. Those who got Krishna consciousness, they are most fortunate. Those who take up to Krishna, they are fortunate. Those who take up to Krishna consciousness and leave it, they are most unfortunate. So, we have to not only become most fortunate by taking it, but we have to share it, what gift we have. So, Acharyas, they don't expect us anything in return for the invaluable gift of Krishna consciousness they are giving. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that I have so many mangoes, this, you know, fruits of love of Godhead. I don't have enough distributors. So, and I want to give it to free. So whoever comes, whoever helps me, you get lot of mangoes and you can distribute, you know, as many as to others as well. So same way, at, like, you know, all the acharyas there, like, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says, you know, pran ache jar, se hetu prachar, that, you know, if you have life, you will preach. There was so much, you know, for preaching. Why? To get a name or fame. You know, later somebody will build, you know, 108 temples and put my, you know, deity, you know. No, not for their sake. For everyone's benefit. To deliver everyone. And the most important benefit of sharing this knowledge is, basically we are not preaching. You know, we are just sharing what we heard. We are like, you know, postmans. We are just, you know, giving it. So the most important benefit of doing this is we remain devotees. When we see that others don't take up to Krishna consciousness. We know the process is good. We know that people have followed it. They have perfected their lives. And we try to share it with others. And they don't take it. And what they do? They go to, water park. To get caught by a crocodile, That's why. And so, and what we feel? We just feel, sad. So, So basically going to water park, here in the context of Gajendra, trying to end separated from Lord. So Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, recreation, like yuktahar viharasya. So recreation we can do, but it should be like, in connection with Lord. We should not, miss that point. So when we see that other people, they are just taking to recreation without any Krishna consciousness, then naturally we say, at least we'll start thinking that, hey, I have got this gift, at least I should not lose it. So even if somebody becomes devotee or not, at least we will remain devotees. Prabhupada used to say, okay, you distribute books, but you read also book. By reading books, he said you will remain Krishna conscious, in Krishna consciousness. So this is the, it is said that most of the times we face this, mind is troubling, senses are doing this, that. So it is said that, attack is the best way of defense. That is one of the phrase. So what it means is that okay, instead of just defending us from negative influence, you start spreading out positive things. So if somebody is speaking something that okay, why don't you come and come in a nightclub and enjoy with me, you should say, hey, why are not you coming to Mangal Arati? It's so beautiful. It's like so instead of saying no, nightclubs are not good, they are in mode of ignorance, we are okay, yeah, all that is true, but we are in defending mode there. So instead of that, we go in attacking mode, why are you not practicing Krishna consciousness? It is so blissful, my life has been changed. I am happy dancing, jumping every day, and then by doing that, what will happen? Forget whether they become devotee or not, at least we will be safe. Clear this point? So therefore, this point what Prabhupada is mentioning, that the devotees, they preach Krishna consciousness and teachings of Bhagavad Gita everywhere, and thus they are competent to sue. So why this what will happen is that Krishna becomes very happy. Because we are doing our family business, Prabhupada used to say, that by practicing Krishna, preaching Krishna consciousness, that's our family business. We share it. Whoever we see, we share it. And then by that Krishna becomes very happy. Oh, here is a soul who does this nicely. And then Prabhupada himself was such a preacher, he did not leave even a single opportunity to preach. And there are so many examples. If we just read Leelamrut, even when he was in grihastha life, he never missed an opportunity to take someone to temple, or to give donation, or whenever there is association, go there, take the association, and then later in his vanprastha, he helped to print the Back to God, the Sajjan Toshini, actually that was the magazine run by Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and then he himself started Back to God magazine. And then he was so intelligent preacher. Once he was driving in a car, and then that driver started saying, he was talking to driver. So this person started, Swamiji, this is car, I drive along, car has this, engine, this car is of this type, that. And Prabhupada was silently listening, no speaking. And when he finished, Prabhupada just said, so are there accidents? And then man said, yes, there are accidents also. And then Prabhupada started preaching him. So he was he knew how to connect to people. So we have to just, sincerely pray that, what gift we have, let us share that. It's, if we think that we are preachers, a big problem. We are no one, basically, in the sense that, okay, we are just a practicing sadhakas. We are just trying to share what we get. So I repeat this word a lot of time. I really like, devotee was mentioning that, we just share the borrowed plumes. So we have a nice plumes, nice fruits, which are borrowed from someone. They are not us, ours. And we are just sharing with that. So when we do that, what will happen is that Krishna becomes very happy. And then another, so we ourselves can do that. And then we see others doing it, like Prabhupada did it, his so many disciples, they are in their 60s and they are, traveling all over worlds, what is the need? Just to share. So, if we take shelter of such devotees, surely our life will be perfect, and we can see that. And this is nothing theory or something. This is very practical. We can see that, you know, those, there are so many sannyasis in ISKCON. You know, you just, okay, I think we all are in 30s or 40s. I know, you know, if we dance too much, you know, say Bibi Govind Maharaj comes, he does 4-hour kirtan, we dance a lot. And then next day we are like, you know, this paining, that paining, right? We had day before yesterday, Nirjala Ekadashi. And next day morning, we remember Krishna always that day a lot, because we are always seeing, you know, when the fast breaking time is, you know, coming closer, right? So we are so young, but we feel like that. There was a nice text I read that, you know, some devotees, when Prabhupada was during his last closing pastimes on earth, devotees, they did this, you know, Ekadashi fast, and they were like exhausted. So next day they went to Prabhupada with, you know, prasad, and then Prabhupada said, you know, just, you know, I don't want to take anything. And he was just, you know, drinking some small, you know, few drops of charnamrut and some water, maybe a little bit every day. So devotees said, you know, how you do, Prabhupada? We are so young, but we feel like, you know, we are gone just by one day fasting. Prabhupada says, you know, I want to show you, I'm not, you know, that the soul is not dependent on body. Rather, the body is dependent on soul. That's what Prabhupada said. So, we have such examples in our life, and there are so many, like, you know, Vaishnavas currently who travel all over the world, and they preach this message of Krishna consciousness. So, if we take shelter of them, and then, okay, one must take shelter of such devotees. So, what it means really to take shelter? He is sitting here, let me go and, you know, sit in his shed. Is that a shelter? Or, like, you know, being in the same room? No. Taking shelter means hearing from them and trying our best to follow their instructions. So when we do that, then what will happen? Naturally, slowly we'll see this, you know, sweet lotus feet of Lord, who are sumangalam, all auspicious. And then all this, you know, bhavatap, you know, this threefold miseries of existence, and, like, you know, even this birth, old age, this is that, it all will go. We'll go back home, back to God. Such an assurance, you know. And Bhagavatam speaks it repeatedly. There is one verse from the Avanti Brahman. Like, actually, this was chanted by Lord when he took sannyas. He says, you know, etam cha asthaya paratma nishtha adhyasitam purva matair maharshibhi aham tarishyami durantaparam tamo mukundangri nishevayeva. That, O Lord, I am very certain that I can cross over this material world. You know, I have full confidence. Why? How I can cross over? By taking shelter of your lotus feet. And he says, why I am saying this? So not only I am saying this, there has been many other acharyas in past, Maharshibir, many sages who have taken shelter of your lotus feet, and they could cross the ocean of, you know, this material existence. So, therefore, I am very sure, I am very confident that, you know, I will be able to cross. So that is the glory. So in this purport, Prabhupada very nicely explains that what should be our destination, that is lotus feet of Lord. And then he describes, you know, how are the lotus feet of Lord. They're all auspicious, all blissful. And then we saw a few other verses from Srimad Bhagavatam that how these lotus feet are capable of, you know, taking us out of this material, you know, world. They're as soft as rosebud, but they're also as hard as thunderbolt. When Krishna was dancing on hoop footprints of Kaliya, he was not feeling, you know, Malya flower being hit on his head. No, he was fearing somebody is, like, you know, crashing. He was vomiting blood and mouth. His, you know, bones were cracking. So what the thunderbolt is for devotees? That Krishna's lotus feet, they act like a thunderbolt for our material desires. They can completely destroy. So such are such, you know, sweet lotus feet. Nice combination, you know. And then, so then next we saw that, okay, so Bhagavatam tells us about destination. It tells what is there, like, you know, what the destination is there, lotus feet. Then he says, okay, have somebody been there? He says, you know, yes, there are devotees. They say, how have they been there? Then they says, okay, they practice and they preach the glories of Lord, and that's how they become very dear to Lord, and that's how they can go. Then he said, can I do that? Yes, how? Take shelter of them. Just follow them, and, you know, naturally you will be able to go. So this is kind of, you know, gist of this purport. Of course, there are many Vaishnava songs which describes the glories of Lord's lotus feet. there are many verses. The one of the most Prabhupada's quoted verse was, you know, Krishna tvadiya pada pankaja panjarantam adyaiva me vishatu manasa rajahamsa prana prayana samaye kapavata pitte kantha varodhana vidau smaranam kutaste. King Kulashekar is saying that, O Lord, at the time of death, my throat will be choked up with pus, bile, mucus, you know, all this nonsense, unclean substance. How will I be able to remember you that? So, I'm young now, you know. So, let my mind be, he says that, let my mind be, so let me die now, while my mind is being entrapped in the triangle of your lotus feet, as the swans, they put their, like, you know, beaks in the stems of the lotuses. So that is the analogy, you know, Kulashekar gives. So as this Gajendra, he remembered all these verses from his previous life. We can keep, you know, like in the many classes, many devotees we have been telling that we can keep reciting these prayers. We can, you know, shlokas. By that, we can remember actually. And then many times we may feel that, okay, I'm not, you know, shloka guy, you know. It just doesn't go, or Sanskrit is too difficult. So the easiest way is that you hear, you, like somebody is recording, like Dravida Prabhu, he has nice, you know, shlokas recitation and their meaning. So just keep hearing whenever you are doing, washing clothes or, you know, washing your, like, doing any service, whenever, like, whichever time you want. So that way the prayers can, you know, go into our heart. So this is about this purport. I also wanted to share a few words about Chidadai festival. It's tomorrow. We know that Raghunath Das Goswami is one of the six Goswamis. So he was, he appeared in actually family of, you know, devotees, Hiranya Mujumdar, Govardhana Mujumdar. And then in his childhood, he got association of Haridas Thakur. So naturally, association is infectious, both in positive and negative sense. So when we get associated with devotees, we become infectious with Krishna consciousness. It is nice to have, you know, infection. So when he, so from his childhood, he had a longing to meet Lord Chaitanya. And then he used to try to, you know, run away because his fathers, they wanted him to, you know, rule over. He was kind of like prince, having, you know, like he said, you know, born with a silver spoon kind of thing. So he had a lot of wealth. So his parents always used to, you know, restrict him not to, you know, because they were knowing that this, he'll just go and he'll never return back, you know. So they had guards, you know, protecting him. So then after some days, they even got him married with most beautiful girl, you know, available at that time, because he was like a prince. But in his heart, he always cherished, you know, associating with Lord Chaitanya. So once and then actually, you know, once he tries to run, you know, he goes to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then again the guard goes to Jagannath Puri, they bring him back, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just says him, you know, do your duty. So he actually gives a kind of, you know, he gives an example. He says, as a wife who has a paramour, she serves her husband very well. So same way he says, like, now you are there, so you just, you know, try to make them think that you are, like, you know, nicely situated in family life, and when the opportunist moment come, you leave the place. So actually then, you know, days goes by, and of course, you know, Raghunath Das Goswami, he was detached in his heart. Then he comes to know that, you know, Lord Nityananda is visiting, you know, close by on the bank of Ganges in Panihati. So he goes there. Raghunath Das Goswami goes there, and with his genuine humility, he offers, you know, obeisances to Lord from, you know, a long distance. So Lord Nityananda says, you know, you are acting like a thief, because thieves generally they hide. So he said, you know, come here, I want to punish you. So then Raghunath Das Goswami goes there. Then Lord Nityananda places his lotus feet on his head. And then he says that your punishment is that I want you to feed all these devotees with nice chidari. So chida is basically the poha, what they call? Flat rice? Yeah, flattened rice. And then he said, like, you know, generally that time, like in India, it's like, you know, very hot. It goes, you know, 100, 110, you know, like that. So, and then it's also humid. So the yogurt is very cooling. And especially if you have ever been to Mayapur, you know, honor this mishti dahi. You They make it in the pots, earthen pots, and it has such an amazing sweetness to it. You know, even your ice creams, you know, they'll be flat in front of you, know that just the plain yogurt. You know. So Lord ordered him that, okay, you feed everyone chidadhi. So then they, Raghunath Das Goswami, of course he was, you know, ultra rich. What he did? He purchased all the flattened rice in the town. He got all the best quality yogurt. And then he got, you know, nice mango pulp. And then got nice milk, sugar, and, you know, nice camphor. So they mixed this, you know, flattened rice with... So they made, you know, three different preparations. One with, you know, flattened rice with yogurt. Another with, you know, flattened rice with, you know, milk. And then flattened rice with, you know, yogurt and mango pulp like this with, you know, and then it has, you know, a pinch of camphor on it. And then they, like, you know, it very, with lot of love and devotion, he offered it to Lord Nityananda. And Lord honored it. And then they, there were so many devotees because, you know, Lord was there. So many devotees has come that, like, you know, whatever places nearby, like, you know, there was no place even to, you know, sit to honor and prasad. So many people were standing in the Ganges, you know, beautiful description. And they were, you know, honoring this, you know, Chidadi. So they had, you know, very amazing festival of, you know, this, you know, Chidadi, nice, you know. And then Lord Nityananda was very pleased. And if I remember correctly, even actually Lord Chaitanya, you know, he appears and honors it there actually. And then, there, that time Lord Nityananda gives his, you know, complete mercy to Raghunath Das Goswami. And then after some days, one of his priest was sick, so in and, you know, Raghunath Das Goswami gets an excuse to, you know, go and call him, and that way he just, you know, runs from the house, he goes, he meets Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then later if we see his life, you know, such an epitome of renunciation, if we try to even imitate, we'll die, you know. He used to just, you know, he first of all, he used to beg the food, he used to stop begging. So first of all, actually, his parents had a lot of money, so he used to cook big feast and, you know, feed it to devotees. But, you know, he understood Lord Chaitanya doesn't like that. So then he stopped that. He used to go and, you know, do madhukari, beg from the devotees. And after some days, he stopped even that. Then he used to just take the, you know, waste prasad, like the prasad which is spoiled. Of course, prasad is never spoiled, but, you know, in apparently, which is little bit, you know, decomposed prasad of Lord Jagannath, they throw in Jagannath Puri, there is one place. So the cows used to come there and they used to eat. And then there were some portions of this rice which are, like, you know, so unpalatable that even the cows used to spit it out. So the Raghunath Das Goswami used to take them, wash it and eat it. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came to know, he went and he, you know, took some of this rice and he ate it. And he said, I never tasted, you know, such an, you know, most delicious food. So basically, you know, Acharya explained, he was testing the renunciation of Raghunath Das Goswami. So he was very much, very close associate of Lord. And then later when Lord winded his pastimes, went back to spiritual world, Raghunath Das Goswami could not stay there because he was in so much separation of Lord. So he decided, I'll go and jump from Govardhan and, you know, give up my life. So when he went, so of course as etiquette, he went to Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, offered their obeisances and asked permission, and they said, no, this body doesn't belong to you, it belongs to Lord Chaitanya. Rather, they said, you should tell us the pastimes of Lord which you observed from the diaries of Swarup Damodara Goswami. And then Raghunath Das Goswami, every day, you know, morning, afternoon time, they used to discuss Lord Chaitanya's pastime. And one of the attendants was Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. He heard all that from him, and then he wrote the famous Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's how we got it. So this is the Raghunath Das Goswami, like the Panhati Chidade festival. It's very much, you know, we remember of that. So here also we see that how Raghunath Das Goswami took shelter of Nityananda Prabhu, first Haridas Thakur, then Nityananda Prabhu, and that got, you know, Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. So with this, let us pray that, you know, we also are able to take shelter of, you know, Abhay Charanarinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, follow his instructions, and by that, for sure, one day we'll be able to see this, you know, and attain this, you know, most, you know, sumangalam, most all auspicious lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So with this prayer, I'd like to stop. Any questions, comments?
Hi, Prabhu. Thank you for your class. I think you chanted one of the bhajans to me while you were driving me home one day, so I think I remember. But you were mentioning when we hear about a vacation spot, first we hear and then we develop the desire to go there. You were mentioning that. So we can see when we hear about something, that won't get us in a lot of trouble. But when we hear of something, when we hear about someone, then that could get us in a lot of trouble, especially with devotees. And so we could see that, if, for example, if Ramachandra Khan, if we ask him, what's your opinion about Haridas Thakur? He'll say, that's a charlatan. You know, he's puffed up. He's only looking for recognition. And if you have faith in him, you're like, oh, yes, he's puffed up. Then you tell everyone. And if you ask a prostitute, what is your opinion of Haridas Thakur? She'll say, oh, he saved me. He's a nice devotee. You know, so then we have two different biographies. And not only that, but even if a lot of reactions that when everyone comes to the temple, they'll see Lord Nrisingadev. And their reaction is, he's a demon. And the guy on the lap, that's the, you know, the human. He's the nice guy. But then we have to tell them, oh, actually, that's not the case. And one last example I'd like to give is very funny to me. It's in Anchalila, Pradyumna Mishra takes instructions from Ramananda Roy. That's what the chapter essentially is called. And basically, he wanted to hear about Krishna consciousness, and Lord Chaitanya said, hear from Ramananda Roy. And then he discovered that Ramananda Roy was... he was training dancing girls. He was also massaging their naked bodies with oil. And of course, if we have paintings of that, and we tell people, you know that guy right there massaging the naked women? That's a pure devotee. And so then people will be like, yeah, right, let me leave. So the conclusion is that even when we, even if we're seeing, that does not mean we are seer, because we ultimately cannot see within someone's heart. So my question is basically related to the fact that how does one deal with this dilemma? Because at the same time, yes, we do have to discriminate, but in the end, it's like, what basis do we have if we can't see in our heart? And my understanding is that it's kind of like a lot of times people say, I want to be their protector, but we can see that only the Lord is everyone's protector. I want to protect them from either hearing from somebody, but we can see that we can't even protect people from dying. We can't protect them from so many things. And so my understanding is that the only thing we can do is teach people to be sincere, and the Lord can see everyone's heart. If we're not chanting Shudanam, or not even trying, or if we're not forgiving all the other, or hoping for everyone's welfare, then whatever just direction we get is kind of, you know, foggy. So how do we handle that dilemma that, you know, discriminate, but at the same time we can't see within the heart of people? So maybe you could elaborate on that a little bit. So
okay.
On what
so
basis?
If I understand the question correctly, you mean to say that we need to hear, but we need to hear from authoritative sources, but then how to discriminate, because we cannot keep
And yeah, and the confusion comes in is that when you have so many people saying, okay, something, like if somebody does something to us, you know, we'll tell everyone, don't hear from them, we'll brand them for life. That person is branded for life.
Got it.
You know, mm-hmm. Don't hear from them because they did this to me. They're not a pure devotee.
So actually, okay, so so it is said actually that Srimad Bhagavatam, like which is, you know, a remedy for all the material existence, it is said that we should not even hear Srimad Bhagavatam from the lips of a Mayavadi or, you know, non-devotee, because it's like, you know, milk touched by the fangs of a serpent. It becomes poisonous. So now, in the same regard, of course, when we, like, we need to hear about Krishna so that we can develop desire to go to him. But that asterisk, you know, is always there, you know, the condition apply what? That we have to hear from a bona fide resource. Now the question comes is that, okay, within devotee circle, all are trying to practice, but we see that, you know, somebody may be telling that, okay, no, this devotee is, you know, say not good or whatever, and then other devotee says that, you know, no, he's good or bad, and whatever it is. So first thing is that there are, like, you know, especially in ISKCON, depending on which position you are holding, the behavior, you know, kind of, you know, it varies. Basically, it keeps adding, like, you know, different dimensions to it. So first of all, for all of us practicing devotees, you know, If we anytime hear, or even if we like, you know, see that in this room there is some gossip going on about someone, best is to, you know, keep, you know, 1 mile distance away, meaning, you know, just keep a distance. You don't even let it get into your trouble, because we really don't know past, future. We may be hearing just one side of story or whatever. So that is the easiest way to protect ourselves, that wherever we, because at least, you know, everyone has that much common sense and intelligence that, okay, this is not, you know, glorification or of Lord or devotees. It is some behavioral, you know, patterns are being discussed that everybody can understand. Agree? So if we see that the behavior patterns are being discussed, just keep a distance. So this is for all of us, you know. Now suppose if you are in a position where you can help that devotee, suppose this is your very close friend or you are, you know, a temple authority, then okay, you just, you know, get them in confidence, you know. And of course this talk should not be done, you know, in Sunday face sitting during prasadam. No, you know, just in a secluded place, and then you say, okay, ask, okay, what has happened, and then okay, try to understand whole situation, and then try to see if you can, you know, help, you know, the whichever, like, you know, whoever party, you know, can be helped, whoever devotee can be helped. One thing is for sure, that we cannot give any excuse to hear blasphemy about devotee. This is kind of, you know, line on a stone. Krishna doesn't like blaspheming devotees. This is like, you know, full stop, period. There's nothing further discussion. Now, some devotees may have some, like, you know, because see, in the hospital, everyone is not healthy. Basically, in a hospital, whoever comes, they have some disease. So naturally, every one of us will have some fault or other. And the disease may vary. Somebody may have, you know, cancer in last stage, and somebody may just have a fever. So same way, the practicing devotee also, we may see that, okay, somebody, they really give, you know, purification to everyone, and somebody are, you know, quite nice, you know, as per our understanding. So the best way is that if we find something in someone, or if we are getting affected, we tell it to someone above them, their spiritual master or their, you know, mentors, who can help them positively, instead of discussing amongst our peers. And if we see that, you know, multiple devotees are getting affected, we escalate it. We tell them that, you know, you please take action. We see this, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 devotees are, you know, getting affected. So here, we cannot say that, okay, it is told we should hear about Krishna, we should associate with devotees, so I was just associating and then something wrong came to my mind and is there. No, we have to even discriminate. So that discrimination power is with everyone, that we have to discriminate from whom we hear. So if it is a plain pastime, Krishna speaking among devotee circles, we hear. But as soon as there is some interpersonal behavior patterns are being discussed, if we are not in the position to help them, just leave that place as soon as possible. That is the easiest way, because the sincerity, the, you know, the purity of heart to judge if what he said is correct or not, we don't have to even go to that point. We have to just block it at first point only. Just don't hear. And if somebody is, like, you know, really telling, no, Prabhu, I want to share something, we can humbly say, Prabhu, I don't, you know, I'm a, you know, practicing sadhaka. When I hear somebody's, you know, negative things, though it may be correct, he may need to, you know, improve or something, but for me, I'm not so elevated, I can just, you know, separate the problem with the person. I always try to, you know, see a problem and person combined. So please excuse me. You please, you know, tell it to one who can, you know, help this devotee. So when we do that, assured, we'll be safe. Now, to correct that devotee, there are, you know, devotees who have, you know, taken their services, you know, putting their head, you know, brain and their sincerity to correct them. So that's their part. We don't have to, unless we are put in that position, then there is, like, you know, mercy, empowerment given how to even, you know, correct. One thing, yeah, so is that clear? I hope, does that answer the question?
Absolutely. Can I make one last comment that Gokulananda in relation to this point that I try to keep in mind all the time? It's one of the most profound points I ever heard from Gokulananda. He mentioned it a few times over the years and I never forgot it. I mentioned in class a few times. Basically, he essentially mentioned that the criterion for basically determining for ourselves, not it doesn't matter who we hear from, but let's introspect. He made that point. He said, if someone asks you, do you have any questions about Bhagavatam or any commentaries? And if the answer is no, then we could see that in the material world that when you generally ask someone, do you have any questions or commentaries about the latest gossip? And if we're enthusiastic to comment or offer our questions, that probably means, you know, we're not practicing our sadhana properly. And so that's one of the points, essentially, I really appreciated, because it's kind of goes to the introspective part, you know, to the degree we're sincere, then to the degree the Lord will guide us. And that's what Bhakti Notai Kaur, he says, in Amar Jivan, I resist all pious deeds, yet I'm very active and enthusiastic to hear, to perform wicked acts. And that's essentially a wicked act. If we're enthusiastic to hear gossip and question it, but have no questions about Krishna Katha, if we have, you know, all questions about Krishna Katha and always gossiping about the Bhagavatam and the characters in that, then we have no time to hear this temporary gossip. So that's one of the profound points. I appreciate it.
Thank you. So I'll conclude with two sentences, because it was related to devotees. Devotees are devotees dear to Krishna. Should always remember. And okay, this I had heard from Vakreshwar Pandit Rupa Disciple. He was saying that, he said, okay, let me think how to put it. But he said, okay, he said, devotees are not worth. But he said, worst devotee is better than the best of the karmi. Worst devotee is better than the best of the karmi. Because he said, devotee will never tell us to break four regulative principle and to stop chanting, however interpersonal problems he may have. So, we can always give that benefit of doubt, and we can keep away. Like Raghunath Das Goswami actually is, wherever there was, even he was in position of, you know, where he could, you know, correct someone, he would never listen, you know, anyone's blasphemy. So let us, you know, take that the safest route, instead of trying to, you know, have our mind some, you know, negative impressions. So we just always remember this: devotees are devotees dear to Krishna. And you know what? Devotees are always, lotus feet, they are always, you know, lotus feet, we discuss near the lotus feet. And when we are walking in the sun, barefoot, where you feel the pain more, to the feet or to the head? To the feet, right? So when we trouble devotees, Krishna's lotus feet gets hurt. And then Krishna becomes very disturbed. So therefore, the best way to keep away is that, you know, yeah, keep away from all this blaspheming things, and just, you know, those who have that service, let them take care. We all just, you know, hear, chant and glorify the lotus feet of Lord, and try to, you know, share it with others, so that one day we achieve that, you know, sumangalam, the destination, most auspicious destination. Guys, thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gajendra Moksha Leela ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.